Australia on the Triple M network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
This is the Night Shift across the Triple M network. Paddy Gerard filling in for Luke Boner because Luke is having a week off. Jess is still here. I will speak to Jess later on too because she's going away. I'll be finding out about her holiday, about what's cracking, and some really good news too from the cave rescues where the 12 boys and their coach have been trapped in Chiang Rai in Thailand. We'll be crossing very soon and speaking with Chris Reason from Channel 7, 7 News Chief Reporter. But if you want to have a chat, 13 133 53 is the number to call. And wanted to know tonight about AVOs. How reliable are they and do they work? We've got Pete from Bathurst. G'day, Pete. How are you, mate?
Not bad, mate. How's yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. How's it in Bathurst, buddy?
Well, it's cold, but we've got the Winter Festival going, but it's all fun and games so far, so yeah. Can't really complain.
Yeah, what's the Winter Festival, mate?
Oh, well, they make a big hullabaloo of it in Makati Park. They get an ice skating ring in, and they've got the Hall of Mirrors, and they illuminate all the courthouse and a few churches and historical buildings around the place, and yeah, it all looks quite beautiful.
Yeah. They do it just during the winter, or how long does it go for?
Oh, it's just the Winter Festival.
Yeah.
It started as a part of the bicentennial celebrations back in 2015. And they've just kept it going.
Oh, so a bit like Vivid in Sydney, mate.
Yeah.
And, mate, Bathurst fan, do you go to Bathurst?
I do have a tendency of getting up the mountain. I mean, it's only a walk up. It's only a walk up William Street for me. So.
Mate, did you watch the V8s in Townsville, the 400?
No, I didn't. I don't have a TV. I've only got the radio, mate.
Oh, truly? You don't have
truly.
You don't have a TV?
I don't have a TV.
Mate, how come?
Well, it all stems back to when I moved into a place in St. Mary's in Sydney, and there was nowhere to plug your TV in. So when I ended up staying there for 5 years, so I had no TV, so I just learned to live without it.
Wow. Mate, I wonder if anyone else doesn't have a TV. So you just have a radio and that's it?
Yeah, just have the radio, that's it.
Wow. And so if someone says, do you see that on TV, you go, oh, what, if it was 5 years ago, I would have.
Yeah, pretty much, mate.
Wow. Mate, that would be interesting. Does anyone else not have a TV? I did read this article, though, and they said once where they took this family, they took them away, they didn't give them TV, radio, all they did was give them books to read, and their stress levels just went down so much. It was not funny because all is bad news.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, I talked to my mum about what, you know, goes on TV, and, you know, I can do without it. I mean, reality TV, not reality.
I have a gutful of that. I did watch, there's this show called Ninja Warrior. I did watch that a little bit tonight before I came down. So, you know, I've got to admit, I did, but when it comes to reality TV, you just go, oh, geez, I've had a gutful of that. Seriously.
Yeah, it's just irritating. Yeah. Like down the chalkboard.
Yeah, like you go, how many cooking shows are they going to have? And they bring out But you wouldn't have seen that because you haven't seen them for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
But, mate, we were talking about AVOs at the top of the hour. Just talking about, do they work? How reliable are they? And have you ever had one put out against someone? What about you?
Yeah, well, I've got an AVO out against my neighbour that lives downstairs from me.
Oh, jeez.
Because he actually kicked my screen door in and assaulted me.
Right.
So the police put an AVO out against him, and he thought he could beat it by just getting the case adjourned and adjourned and adjourned, but what he doesn't realise is the AVO follows him.
How long for, Pete? How long do they last?
Well, this AVO is indefinite until they get a verdict on his case.
Right. Mate, so that is the... That is the time frame normally?
Well, normal AVOs, they can last up to a year.
Yeah.
But because the way they've worded the AVO in this case, every time he gets the case adjourned, the AVO gets reinstated again.
Right. And so, therefore, if something happens, you can call, say, the police, and therefore, because there's an AVO out, he then can be arrested. I don't want to know what happened or anything.
He just got arrested again tonight.
Right, okay, all right. All right. Well, so that's how it works. So they can be a year. So they do work sometimes.
Yeah, they do work sometimes, but it's no physical barrier. It realistically doesn't stop them, you know, doing what they want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a physical barrier.
Yeah.
But, at least you've got some protection there.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. And that's,
it doesn't do me the world of good. See, I'm a paranoid schizophrenic. See, I'm in constant fear people are out to kill me anyway.
Right.
So, you know, to have it as a reality is pretty stressing.
Mm.
But, medication helps.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm attacking my PRN, which stands for patient requires necessary.
Right.
That helps keep me calm. But, you know, you just got to weather the storm. There's not much you can do. You know, I thought about signing myself in to get away from him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to put up with the next 6 months' worth of rigmarole.
Mm.
Just because I need to get away from an idiot.
Well, at least you've got, as you said, you've got peace of mind, Pete. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Listen, thanks very much for having a chat with us tonight.
No dramas,
see
mate.
See you, Pete. Pete from Bathurst. Thanks for calling. 133353. We have got the Reverend Jim from the Outreach Ministries from Australia. Hello, Reverend Jim. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well. I hear you with Lukey all the time.
Yes, Luke and I have been mates for quite a few years. I followed him across to Triple M when he came over. He's been a big supporter of our work, which is great. And I have a bit of information on some of the topics as well. I spoke to Jess just before. I help a lot of people with, in Victoria, we call them IVOs, or intervention orders.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good 40% of my work is sitting with people, helping them apply for these things or get rid of them if they've been used as a weapon, which we quite often see happening as well. So they're not really worth the paper they're written on, but they can be handy in some cases. So we do sometimes use them if required.
Reverend Jim, so there's a time frame. We just spoke with Pete from Bathurst, and he said a lot of them do have time frames.
The most common time frame is a year, but from way to go, it usually will be on someone for about 14 months. Because what will happen, and look, every state's different, so you may have some callers who'll call from other states who'll say, well, this is how we do it. But in Victoria, you can either get one from the police, so the police will issue one if you've been involved in family violence or there's been a neighbourhood dispute.
Yeah.
If the police feel that you're in danger, they will issue one as an interim order until you can go in front of a magistrate. If the police don't have enough evidence, what they'll do is you can actually do them online in Victoria. So you put in the application online and then the registrar calls you the next day and organises for you to come in and sign the documents, and then you front the magistrate to say why you need that intervention order. The magistrate usually gives around about 6 weeks for the respondent to answer that. So you have what we call an interim order. And then after that 6 weeks, both parties will front the magistrate to put their side across. And that's when the magistrate will make a determination whether the order will be enforced or not.
Right. So that's when he can decide, because some people would use them as a get back, do you think, sometimes, Reverend Jim?
Oh, 100%. When you sit in the court, you learn so much of society when you sit in a courtroom some days. You do see that quite often. People will take out intervention orders for no good reason, just out of spite.
Yeah.
And that's why they have the interim order until both parties confront the magistrate. Legal aid quite often will give people assistance when they're in there for that part and put their story across. They usually come with about 10 conditions, so the usual family violence, not contact them through the internet or post. Because social media now is such a problem.
Yeah.
You know, when you have that order on you, you can't turn around and say, oh, person X is a whatever. You can't be disparaging and stuff like that because they consider that as a breach.
Yeah.
So in Victoria, they do say on these orders that you can face 5 years imprisonment if you breach that order. But I don't think I've ever heard of that actually happening.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an maximum.
And the ones who put in the false claims, you just go, you're wasting time for those who got serious issues, I could imagine.
Well, that's exactly it. Some of the stories that we hear, because the system gets abused, I probably the most common thing I hear is, what's the point of doing it? Because they know that when they go into court, they're going to be there for the whole day. So to give an example, I'm going in with someone next week. We need to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we can guarantee we won't be out until 5, because the amount of orders that are going through the court,
wow,
it's going to be phenomenal. And they allow, in the mention, they allow 5 minutes to go through and make sure things are going okay.
Yeah.
But that still takes a lot of time, 5 minutes each case. And, you know, the type of infrastructure that you need in the court, because quite often you'll see a barrier, so one person can't see the other,
yeah,
and vice versa. So it can be very painful to actually go through that system.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to sort the shit from the clay, basically.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, it's anything to do with families or neighbours is an absolute mess.
Yeah, sometimes you wish you could just live on a property, hey?
Well, that's pretty much it. I'm fairly lucky. I've got great neighbours on each side, so...
Yeah.
You know, we're very lucky. We look after each other, but you don't see that in a lot of places.
Yeah.
You know, how many people live in an apartment block, but they wouldn't know who lives next door to them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, mate, I remember when I was living in Brisbane, I think I lived there 2 years, and I don't even think I knew who the neighbour was. Just happens like that, doesn't it?
Exactly. And it's funny with some of the arguments that you hear when you get down to the crux of what actually started it. It was just an easy fix altogether, but it blows out a mountain into a molehill. Molehill into mountains.
Yeah.
It's just the crazy the way it works. But it keeps me in a job, so that's probably one good thing about them.
All right, Reverend Jim from the Outreach Ministries Australia. I hear you with Luke all the time. Thanks very much for calling us.
Not a problem. And you can put another one on the list of someone who doesn't have a TV as well.
Oh, how long? You don't have a TV, Reverend Jim?
Nope.
How long have you not had a TV for?
Since I bought my first laptop.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, it's probably a good 8-9 years now, because there's nothing really on TV that I want to watch. And my laptop can play movies and I can hook into YouTube, Netflix and whatnot. So what's the point of having one?
Devoid of TV. Wow. That was like Pete from Bathurst said, 5 years without a TV.
Yeah, mate, a lot of people I know are not bothering with the TV, because there's very little point. If you want to go and see a movie, you just go to the cinema or watch it on the computer. There's, you know, if I want to watch something really big on a big screen at home, I have a little projector that I picked up for $40 off one of the internet sites, and I just screen it on my wall. I have absolutely no need for a
there
TV.
There you go. You got your big screen there.
Exactly.
Oh, good stuff.
Makes life easy.
Yeah. All right, Reverend Jim. Okay, call later on this week.
No worries, mate. You take care.
Yeah, thanks for that. Oh, Rob was going to call us. We dropped out of mobile phones and restaurants because mobile phones are off the menu, with diners urged to check their devices at the restaurant door in a stand against digital distractions. And Rob, if you want to give us a call back, that would be great. We've got Emma, and Emma is from Shepparton. Hey, Em, how you going? I'll see if we can bring you up there. Hello, Em, how you going?
Working.
Yeah, that's all right.
Hey, what I wanted to do.
You know what? This working's overrated, isn't it?
I know.
Oh,
there's got to be a better life somewhere. I just don't know where.
Fair
dinkum.
Now, Reverend Jim was just saying he's had a TV. He hasn't had a TV for 8 to 9 years. Pete from Bathurst, he rang about another issue, about AVOs. He hasn't had a TV for 5 years. How long's it been for you, Em?
Okay, I have not watched TV since All Saints and Rush were the last thing I watched on TV. Now, I don't know how many years ago that is.
What? All Saints and Rush?
Quite a long time ago, yeah. They were the last things I've watched. I wouldn't even know what's on anymore. I don't have a TV, and no, I wouldn't know. People go, hey, you seen this? And I'm like, well, no.
You know...
I mean, even... When the kids were young, I hardly ever watched anything. I've watched a few dumb movies with them.
Yeah.
And I do nothing. I just sleep and work. I don't even have a swipey phone. I was just saying to Jeff. I don't even use the internet. I know nothing. I am really sheltered from the life, whatever it is.
Well, listen, that's 10 years. Well, you know, Turnbull's the Prime Minister. You know that? Good girl?
No.
You don't know.
I think, yeah, I do. Yeah, okay.
Do you want to know anything? Is there any question from the last 10 years you want to know that you've missed? Is there anything that you want to know our listeners might be able to help you with?
I don't know. They're going to bring all things back on the wall. I might as well watch it. No, not really.
Yeah.
I read the papers and that's about it.
Yeah.
I didn't. I've got such a good life. I told you I was living the dream. I don't even know Facebook. Yeah. I don't know how to. My daughter talks about Snapchat. I'm like, what?
Instagram. Does she go Instagram as well?
I wouldn't even know. I used a computer once and my kids taught me, right? This is years ago.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you press this. And they don't sit with you, right? And you know where I ended up because I wanted to look up collectible teddy bears? I ended up in a gay site. I'm like, what's happening? I said, I don't even know how I got there. I'm like, that's it. I'm no good. My daughter tells me, Mum, you're just not smart enough to own a smartphone or one of those. Just stay with what you got and leave it at that.
And you went to delectable teddy bears and it took you to the gay site.
Yeah, it did. I don't know what I pressed. They don't, you know, they say, yeah, it's easy, just do this. They leave you and it's like, hey, come back here. You know, and then I'm screaming like, what the hell?
Yeah. Oh, that is funny.
But anyway.
Well, you seem happy. It, you know what? By not watching TV for the last 10 years, it hasn't done you any bad in any way, has it?
No, it hasn't. No. It doesn't worry me at all, actually.
Of course not.
I haven't even been to the cinema for about 5 years.
Well, what was the last movie you saw?
I reckon it was that. Oh, it had what's the name in it? Oh, my God.
Thingy Bob? Who was that?
What's his name?
Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah.
Oh, the martial arts bloke?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know.
I don't know what it's called.
You haven't narrowed it down much. Well, listen, that is so. It's so nice to talk to you, Em.
And I know, it always is. Why not?
10 years,
I'm
all
special.
Saints. I think we all are a little bit, aren't we? All right.
Yeah, I am.
All right. Thanks all so much for joining us, okay?
Okay, well, you have a good night.
See you, Em. Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Yeah, this is Paddy Rudd filling in for Luke Boner. The night shift across the Triple M network, 133353. We have got Rob. G'day, Rob.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Yeah, really well, buddy. We were talking earlier on about restaurants where mobile phones are off the menu. Should this happen nationally, mate?
I don't believe so. I think you know, mobile phones are a part of the future that we all have to get used to. You know, like, it's annoying, I guess, in a social sense.
Yeah.
If you're at a table and people are on their phone and they're not talking to you, but if restaurants ban mobile phones and say we want people to talk to each other, I think that's a personal thing between the people that are at the table. Like, if you're a businessman and traveling on your own, which I've done, traveled all over Australia, and you're sitting at a restaurant, you want something to do, you know? You don't want to be kind of sitting there and staring into space.
Yeah.
And so at times I think it's a good use for phones, but yeah, sure. In other social environments, it's actually very, very poor choice to have phones at a table.
Because there you are by yourself and everyone's going, oh, look at Rob, no friends. And make
That's that. You know what? I can do dinner by myself, but I can do lunch by myself, but I cannot do dinner by myself. For some reason I just go and get takeaway somewhere, or I'll just go and get something healthy and go home and eat it in my room and watch telly. But yeah, during the day I'm okay.
But do you think with people, like groups of people, when, you know, even couples when they go out?
Sure.
I just don't know why.
You know, is it the restaurant's job to tell them that they should be talking to each other? Maybe they're fighting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is true.
You know what I mean? Like, is it their job to say how we should live our life, you know?
Yeah, that is true. Mate, what are you – because you were talking about being single. Not saying that you are, but, you know, when you go to those restaurants. Did you see the story where the royal doctor is begging authorities to relax patient relationships rules so physicians can find love with former patients? This would be difficult. In rural areas, this would be really difficult, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah, for sure.
Because
I can't see a problem with doctors having relationships with patients anyway. But I don't know. I guess there's different kinds of doctors too, like – psychologists, sure, they can't really have relationships with their patients because it's, mental health is a different ball game altogether. Do you know what I mean? But a normal doctor treating a person for normal ailments, I don't know why there is a restriction on doctors dating patients.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I know in some workplaces, though, you know, you're not allowed to date other staff members, where others, I'm sure with some schools.
Like the politicians.
Oh, well, look at what happened there, Rob. Look at what happened there.
You can get on a $200,000 a year job for posting one Facebook or from one social media post a day, but you're not allowed to have an affair with them.
Me want that job. That's, I tell you what, but like I know even some schools, teachers allowed to date one another. But that's what we're looking at. There's so many things we're looking at tonight. But listen, mate, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for calling. Okay.
Yeah, no worries, buddy.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
But we got Rod, and he is driving to Moray Field. Hello, Rod.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. We're talking about every landlord's worst nightmare, and this bloke near Goodner looks as though he could be up for a $100,000 damage bill.
Yeah, I got it. I through friends of friends, I'm not a landlord, but these guys, they settled on a house, did the final inspection, settled on the house, rocked up with the removalist the next day to move in, and the entire place had been stripped. Like, all the copper, all the fixtures, the oven, everything was gone. It was just basically an empty shell. They took, like, even the door handles. Like, they took everything.
So was this a brand-new home or that they were buying?
Yeah, so they bought the house. They'd gone in, done the final inspection, and then gone, no dramas, signed settlement, and then gone to move in. And when they've rocked up with the removalist truck, everything was gone.
Joking me. And so were they covered by insurance?
I couldn't tell you that, mate. But, devastating, even if it was, absolutely devastating.
Yeah, and you imagine owning a home. And quite often people think that because you are the property owner that, you're worth $1 million. And quite often these investment properties, you've got a loan, you've gone and borrowed the whole amount, and they think, who gives a rat's?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
That's terrible, isn't it? That is just, and has that happened often or is that just a one-off?
Mate, that's what happens often is people raiding building sites, stealing. You'll find often when they're building developments and whatnot, they'll put the continuous flow hot water systems in last because they'll just waltz in and they'll nick them.
Wow, jeez,
happens all the time.
Next thing, you're going to have a security guard at your house until you move in.
That's pretty much already happening in some areas.
Oh, fair dinkum.
Yeah, if you look at some developments, they'll have security flying around.
Just to protect the homes until someone moves in.
Yeah. And, coppers are... I don't know if you've had any interactions with people who work in rail yards and whatnot, but if anyone's listening and rings in and they've worked in a rail yard, places where they keep... Big electrical joints that keep big reels of cable. They'll steal all that stuff too. Like copper's just a rampant magnet, if you will, ironically.
Yeah, I have heard. There was a building where I come from, and it was a restaurant. And anyway, it was shut down. And then someone went in and then ripped all the copper piping out underneath from underneath the building. And they went back and there was none there.
Jeez. That's not an unusual story.
Is copper worth that much?
If you haven't got any money and you want to make some money that's not yours to make.
Yeah.
It's good money at that point in time, isn't it?
Yeah, that is true. That is true. All right, Rod, thanks for calling, buddy.
No worries. Have
okay.
a good one.
Have a good one. Yeah, thanks for that, mate. Yeah, if you want to have a chat, 133353. Yeah, we were looking at this landlord worst nightmare where these renters, they strip the property to its bones, even ripping out the copper wiring, and it might leave him this bloke, the owner of the house, with a $100,000 damage bill. Hey, have you been a property owner and someone destroyed your joint? Which mic are you on there, Jess? Which one there? That number four, is it, or three? What one? I'll put them all on. How's that? Four. There's no mic four up here.
How's this one?
Yeah, which one? Yeah, that'll do.
That's three.
Yeah, is that three?
How you going, Patty?
Oh, God. Talk. Don't ask. Oh,
no? Tired?
I'm a little bit tired.
Yeah? Well, just going to have to get over it. Just going to have to push on.
Jeez, you're tough. Luke said to me, he rang me, he said, just what, Patty? Since the last time you were here, she's got tougher. You have.
Sorry.
Yeah. So what's the go? We're going to get the Shannon Knoll audio down.
Yes. It's in there. I'll help you access it in a second.
Oh, cool. Because he was at a gig and did someone throw a can of beer or something?
Yeah, someone threw something at him on stage and he just...
went off?
He didn't react well.
But you know what? I wouldn't either. If someone threw, you know, you're up there doing your gig and all that sort of stuff.
But I mean, he threatens to sort of... punch on with him. I don't think it's good to incite violence, though. It's not a very good role model.
Oh, truly?
Yeah. You'll have to listen to it.
And we'll get where it was and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, cool. All right. Hey, now, you are having holidays at
I am.
The end of this week.
I am. I'm living.
Woohoo! Where are you going away?
I'm going to Lebanon and Dubai. See family, yes.
Now, I remember, did you put on the Night Shift Facebook page the last time that you're home? You surprised your nana, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, my grandma and grandpa. So they still live there. That's primarily why I like to go.
Yeah.
I did. I surprised them last year.
Wow.
And it was really, really lovely. I'm not going to do it again to them this year. I don't know if it's good for their health. So they're expecting me this time.
Good. You don't want to do that.
No.
Seriously. So you go to Lebanon
and
Dubai.
Yeah. What so we're really hot, summery holiday.
Are you staying at that really nice, that 7-star joint?
Or the Atlantis
I don't know.
Dubai?
Oh, yes. Looks,
no.
Looks, you know,
no. None of that. That's like $2,000 a night.
Is that what it is?
Yes. It's crazy expensive. You can go and visit it and sort of have a tour around, but... it's very costly to stay there. It's very luxurious.
It's very nice, though.
Yeah.
It looks very, very
nice. It's
a
pretty crazy place, Dubai. Very futuristic.
Yeah. See, that's where I'd stay. I'm not into this camping garbage.
You'd stay at the Atlantis. You got $2,000 a night, have you, Patty?
I'd be only there for
5 minutes. Just some of the samples at the buffet.
Do you have 5-minute rooms here? Because that's all you can afford. But
too
that
expensive.
Would be. Yeah, so Lebanon, then Dubai. How long in Lebanon? How long in Dubai?
Lebanon for majority of the time, nearly 3 weeks, and just a few days in Dubai on the way back. My auntie lives there.
Oh,
so just going to pop in and say g'day.
Oh, that's brilliant. So you don't have to pay accommodation.
No, at neither of the places. I know, which is really, really lovely. But looking forward to it. Beautiful summer holiday just by the sea every day.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be nice.
How good. Who are you going with?
I'm going, my boyfriend's coming and my brothers. And it's actually the first time since we can remember that my brothers and I, all three of us, have been on a trip together. It gets so hard, don't you think? You get older and everyone's doing their own thing. Yeah. And then, you know, your vacation time, you'd prefer to be with your friends.
Yeah.
But it should be great because it's the first time in over a decade that we've all been together somewhere.
Did you say you got three brothers?
Two brothers. The three of us, and mum as well. So it'll be really nice time together. Hopefully not too much tension and fighting and we can keep the peace. We're a full house.
Well, and you're all staying together.
In the same house, my grandparents' house,
I hope it's not just a one-bedroom studio apartment, Jess.
No, it's not, thank goodness.
Wow, that'll be so good.
It'll be really lovely, my grandparents will be really happy. The house will be full.
Oh, yeah, that'll be huge. Do you fear flying? Do any of your brothers or your boyfriend fear
flying? Pretty good. Yeah. I used to, when I was young, I used to get really bad anxiety. And I don't know why this happens. Every time before you fly, you accidentally see a movie about a plane going down.
Oh, yeah, you do.
The week or the night before.
Or if you've got Foxtel on, you see National Geographic.
That's all you see.
Air crash investigation.
I know. The plane that never returned, 14 bodies missing 20 years later. No one found them. Oh, great. Perfect timing.
But you know what you do? My mate Dan, who's in Launceston, he said when you get on the plane, and I do that, he told me this, and the bloody idiot, now I do it every time, is you kick the plane with your right foot, and that's good luck. And so I do
really?
Yes, I don't know
what
why.
What do I need to kick? Which parts? The whole plane?
You know how you get out?
Yeah.
You're walking through that sort of tunnel thing, and the hosties are there getting your ticket. So you just kick the plane with your right foot. Apparently that's good luck. That's what I've been told.
Really?
Yeah.
All
I don't know.
I'll kick the whole plane. It's perfect. I'll blame it on you.
It's worked with me. They don't go, you know, doing your best Bruce Lee against the plane. But my boy Cal, why ask you, is anyone fear flying? My boy Cal just hates it.
Yeah.
Seriously. And it's a pain in the bum.
It really is. It is scary. I hate turbulence.
Yeah.
A lot of people fear turbulence, but in the grand scheme of things, the plane's hardly moving, but it feels like something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But one tip my auntie told me, because she's actually used to be an air hostess. That's why she lives in Dubai. She works for Emirates. And if you just look at the air hosts and they're fine and they're not stressed and they're chilling, then everything's fine. Yes. Yeah. If they're panicking, then start praying.
Yeah.
get out your rosary beads. Get out the holy water, the Bible, crucifix, the whole shebang.
First Hail Mary. Yeah. But yeah, because Cal, he just absolutely hates it. And it's really, it's sort of debilitating in some way, but it's sort of restrictive in another. Because we want to go around and we went to Cairns.
Does he just get anxiety?
Hates it. Hates it. I went to the doctor and I told the doctor about it and he said, oh, look, a lot of people do suffer from flying, fear of flying. He said it's a common problem, a real common problem. He said, I said to Cal, why don't we go and see someone about it? I said, I'll go with you as well. But he just hasn't. But it's so restrictive. And I said to him, mate, you're stopping yourself, you're limiting yourself from seeing this great world by not wanting to fly. And I enjoy flying and it's really, really,
yeah, that's
really
tough. At least when you're an adult, you can, you know, have a drink on board, calm down a bit. Don't recommend it for your kid, but.
but 6 or 7, you know, but look, it will be just a brilliant
time. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there's any parents out there. What do you do?
Do you do? Yeah, it was really tough. And I can imagine if people, and where I come from, I live on the Central Coast, and there's a person there who hates it so much, they just drive and that's it. So they haven't been out of Australia.
Yeah.
Or even when it comes to traveling, they're not really big fans. So they just stick around and you just go, man, there's so many things to see.
Yeah.
You know.
And people, I think, don't realise as well, you've got more of a chance of something, God forbid, going wrong on the roads.
Yeah, I mean, there's such
a higher chance of an accident happening on ground than in the air.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you do, you know, there's always that possibility. That would be interesting. Do you suffer from flying? And what do you do to overcome it? Because it really is. I look at him and I go, Cal, we want to go here. And to bring it up, we just go, oh, it's not worth the hassle.
Comes with age, I think. I think I was the same until about 19. And then I just sort of accepted, well, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, it's out of my control. If it's my time, it's my time. Maybe that's a bit morbid, but what can you do? It's not in your hands.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, if you want to have a chat, 133353, you might have a solution for those who fear flying. There might be something that you've done to overcome it. Give us a call. Let us know. Hey, Clint, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, getting there slowly, buddy. I haven't fallen asleep yet.
Yeah, no, that's the
guy. That's all right at this stage. Ask me in another half an hour, mate. Now, we were talking about fears of flying. Do you like flying?
No, I hate it.
Do has it restricted you from doing things, buddy?
Yeah, it did. I was a bit like, yes, I got to about 21 and I thought, well, what it is, what it's gonna be. So, and I just tried everything from pressure bracelets, a whole lot. Now I just use travel calm.
Yeah, mate, what's that thing that's ticking in the background?
That's a pointer.
No. I got to say, that wasn't annoying. can you just put it on for me again? I quite enjoyed. Brilliant. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, anyway, you better turn it off. Yeah, it's doing it for me. I'm starting to take my clothes off. Anyway. Anyway, so you just use travel calm now?
Yeah. Right. Now, I usually take a couple, about an hour before, and then take another one before I get on the plane, and then, as it gets longer, just keep up on them for the rest.
Yeah, because Cal, my boy, he's put the blinker on again. Oh, you're doing this to annoy me now.
No, I'm not. I'm going around about it.
Come on, stop it. Come on. You're taking the mickey now. Anyway, you're deliberately looking for a left turn.
No, I'm out in Spitzley.
Oh, there you go again. Oh, fair dinkum. Anyway, but yeah, I was going to say Camel Boy just hates it. And it's really restrictive. You know, you want to go somewhere and it's a nightmare wanting to go on holidays.
Yeah. No, you just got to... I drive everywhere, but it just got to a point that you just
got to
fly. It's just too long driving anyway.
How old were you when you changed? When it all changed, Clint?
21.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a few more years to wait.
But
okay. So travel calm. Put your blinker on again for me. I loved it. There we go. Yeah. There we go.
Get a bit of that in you.
All right. Okay. All right. You know what? Next time we fly to Cairns, I'm coming to stay with you. That'll get you.
Yeah.
That'll be even.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, mate. You go for it.
Okay. as long as you take as many left and right to there we are again. Okay. All right, Clint. See you, buddy. Okay, I will. See you, buddy. Oh, he's mad. We got Gary from Hobart. Hey, Gary, how are you, mate? How you going, buddy? Hey, Gaz. Yeah, good, mate. Now, fears of flying. Do you have it, fear of flying?
I did have.
How did you overcome it, mate?
Just get pissed, mate.
Oh, jeez. You know what? I didn't mind the travel calm thing. That's all right. But do you do that, honestly, because it's so frightening, you get on the drink?
Yeah, you have a couple of bourbons at the airport, you get on the plane, a few more, before then you're asleep.
Yeah.
You wake up, you're at your place.
But you honestly, it worries you that much?
No, not really. I just like drinking.
So there's any excuse. Anyway, all right. I'll take the travel car, but I'll put drinks down. It's not for me. It's for my boy. You won't be allowed, but anyway, we'll give that a crack anyway. I will. And see if it calms my nerves, okay, Gaz?
Yeah, all right, mate.
All right.
Just one thing before you go.
Yeah.
Can you hear this?
Oh, he's you're putting your blinkers on too.
I did, mate.
You know what? I'm going to be like Shannon Noel, want to fight someone very soon. Like, I tell you what, you won't get much of a whack from me, but anyway, I'll try. All right, Gaz, thanks for the blinker, mate, too. All right.
No worries, mate.
See you, mate. That's going to be the order of the day now. Order of the day. We've got Andrew. Hey, Andrew, how are you, mate?
G'day, mate.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I've never been on a plane. I've been on one, probably, ended up being in hospital in Sydney and they flew me back to Brisbane. That was the first and last time I ever thought I'd get on a plane. I think my biggest trouble is because I'm a bigger person and there's no way I can afford business class, so I've never really bothered, but yeah.
So, Andrew, when you say you're a bigger person, can you not fit in the normal economy seats?
Well, I've heard stories. I don't know myself.
Yeah.
I guess I've never had an interest in it, mate, so I'd prefer to drive. I'm in Queensland, in Toowoomba, and I'd drive to drive anywhere instead of getting on the plane. So, I guess it's just getting used to it, I guess, but I've got no interest.
Mate, have you never been out of Australia?
No. Oh, I've been on cruises, a few cruises, but, yeah, never on a plane, no. I guess it would be just something you'd have to get used to, I guess. But, yeah, I've got no interest.
Yeah.
So.
You never thought, go to America, go to Disneyland or something like that?
Oh, not really. No, as soon as the plane comes into mind, I think Australia's a good country to see before you see anything else anyway. That's what I reckon anyway.
Indeed it is. And look, mate, I do know people who are so fearful of flying that they just go, and they've never been out of Australia. Never been out of, well, as you said.
Oh, I've watched a few air crash investigations too, so they probably put something in.
Oh, come on. Seriously. When we were going away, I would turn that as soon as I saw it come on. I go, get that off. Because Cal used to watch it and go, here we go. This is going to happen to us. But that's quite interesting, mate. That is, it's been restrictive for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just haven't got an interest in it at this stage. Anyway, maybe, if I could afford business class where it's a bit more roomier, maybe.
Oh, but yeah, first class.
That'll never happen.
So. And, mate, what's the best place in Australia to visit? Give me one.
I reckon The Rock, Ayers Rock or Uluru, whatever they call it now.
Yeah, Uluru. Place to be, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Andrew, thanks for your call, champ.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
Thanks for that, buddy. It's Paddy Gerard filling in for Luke Burner, the night shift across the Triple M network. 133353. We've got Dean in Hobart. Hello, Dean.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, getting there slowly. What about you, mate? What's happening in old Hobart town today?
Just about to head to work, mate. Just a baker, so.
Oh, yeah? You in Hobart?
Oh, yeah, mate. Yep.
Oh, cool, buddy. Now,
so, I just wanted to say about the travel thing you were talking about.
Yeah, fear of flying.
Yeah, fear of flying. I never used to have one. And then back in 2001, I was on my way back from Scotland and they had the September 11 attacks happen.
Yeah.
When we were on our flight back home. And the Travel Calm bracelet's definitely one of the best things you can ever get for it.
The Travel Calm bracelet?
It's a bracelet you can get. It's just something you wear on your wrist. And, I don't know if it's like a little magnet or something, but it works a treat. It just cools you down a little bit.
And, Dean, since 2001, with the attacks in America, you've never flown since?
No, I've flown many a time since, but ever since, like, I've always had a bit of a fear of flying, so that Travel Calm bracelet is definitely something to look into.
Yeah. Actually, does it work on the acupuncture theory, on the pressure points?
Yes, it does, on the side of your wrist, yes.
All right, and that's the same. People use that when they go on ships and boats and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the same type of thing you use for, like, travel sickness as well, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, might try that. And you can just get them, from chemists or something, probably.
Chemists is where I got it from, so, yeah.
Yeah, all right, we'll give that a crack. Dino, thanks for that, mate. Enjoy work
You're
today.
You're welcome, mate.
Okay, see you, Dean.
Thank you.
See you, mate. Yeah, we'll do, Dean. Cheers, buddy. We've got Joe from Yeppoon. Hello, Joe. Hey, mate.
Hey, how you going?
Hey, Joe. Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm sitting in my car now. I made it safely to work, thank God. Anyway, I'll just let you know, I've entertained many a passenger on a plane. I've even entertained the pilots. They've looked out the door to see who was playing up the most in the back seat. With your little boy, a trick that somebody told me years ago coming back from New Zealand was, just think of it as a vehicle, and when you hit turbulence, you're just going over a gravel road. And ever since then, it's actually helped because I hear the plane as a vehicle. So when you're taking off or when you're coming into land, you're just thinking about them going through the gears and stuff like that. So if you relate it to a vehicle, like a train or whatever, it sort of puts your mind at rest to think, well, it is only just a vehicle, and what I'm hearing and what I'm experiencing is exactly the same thing as what I would be doing in a car.
All right, yeah.
And the other thing is find your place in the plane where you like to sit. Me, personally, I like to be about two windows back from the wing, not on the exit door, because I'd be out that exit door if I'd given half the chance. But the wing sort of almost calms you. It stabilizes your mind a little bit. And the other thing I do also is it's a bit sneaky, is I put a little shell in my bag because a shell, like off the beach, and if I'm having a really bad trip, I meditate a lot, so I think of myself at the beach with my dogs walking and relaxing.
Yeah.
So it's about putting your mind somewhere where you want to be.
Yeah,
but
cool.
But definitely the trick of the car or the vehicle. And I remember the young girl who told me, it was a young Australian girl, and we were coming across and we hit some turbulence. And she says, oh, we just ran over a Kiwi. And I looked at her, and then a few minutes later, we went across and she says, oh, more turbulence. I saw we just ran over I won't say it.
Okay.
It was a bit, it was like, okay, so she didn't speak to me for the rest of the trip.
Yeah.
It was a really good trip. It was a very good trick.
Yeah, people say I don't like taking off and landing. I love, they're the two best things in flying. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's the crosswinds that gets me. Like, even where I used to live in New Zealand, the planes would come in front of my house to land down on the Tyree. And if it was a really windy day and I would see them, I would actually get anxiety in my own house because I could see this plane, like,
with the crosswind that we used to get across.
Yeah.
And, yeah, even sitting in my own lounge, I would get an anxiety attack watching the plane come in.
Oh, fears.
That's how much I don't like it.
Yeah, isn't it definitely funny? Fears of different things. I hate heights. Absolutely hate heights. If I even if I go, say if I stay somewhere high at the Gold Coast and I can't go out in the balcony, or I do and I go, and I have to go back, it's just terrible. And you just go,
yeah. So I've had that as well. And we had, I think when I was about 10, we were on a roller coaster ride on a theme park back in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And my brother slipped out of it. And we were hanging on to him. He slipped off the seat, and my sister and I were holding him basically in. And I think that there is a lot to do with that movement without being in control of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, definitely the vehicle thing. If you just think of it as a car,
yep,
taking off, landing, your heels again, you know, you get your head into that part.
Yep.
You do a really good trip. But
give that a crap.
Yeah, I've meant to fly on Cyclone
last day
down to Melbourne.
Nice to go
out and
jump it,
mate.
Okay, Joe. Your line is breaking up, but thank you very much for calling. Okay. See you, Joe. That's Joe in Yeppoon listening to us. We've got Sean from Melbourne. Hello, Sean. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Getting there for a Monday morning. Haven't fallen asleep yet.
same, don't worry.
There's still time, mate. Jesus, keep me awake. anyway, now you're calling about flying, buddy.
Yeah, flying. Quite some time ago, had a uncle that was going on a football trip to Queensland. As we know, fear of flying, had it. So we knew a truck company a horse truck company, that actually had a truck going to Queensland on that same weekend. So him and one of the boys jumped in the truck, and they got after, they went through a town, they got a supply of alcohol, got about 20 minutes out, he needed to have a leak and open up the side door of the gooseneck where people can access into the gooseneck, and the wind suction just dragged him straight out. The truck behind him basically got on the two-way, asked if he had any passengers. Lo and behold, they found my uncle, and 2 years later he was out of hospital.
Oh, jeez. So that went too fast for me. So hang on, because come on, mate. This is really early. So he was on in the back of a what?
A horse truck.
Horse. Okay, a float. Was he on a float?
Yeah. Well, not a two-horse float. This is actually a truck. So this holds up to about 12, 15 horses.
And where'd he get sucked out of?
So on the gooseneck of the truck,
what's a gooseneck?
So over your truck hinge, there's just basically, how would you say, there's just like a quarters for the strappers to sit in, for the horse attendants to sit in.
And that's he got sucked out of that.
Well, he went down being a little bit intoxicated, I suppose.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. Opened up the side of the door just enough to sort of, let him relieve himself. Yeah. And, the suction just dragged him straight out.
And 2 years in hospital.
Well, yeah, 2 years. Well, it was thereabouts 2 years, but he was still doing rehab and so forth two years later.
Oh, jeez.
But, man. I think he spent... I suppose it was a solid, don't quote me on this, but it was there about 6 months he spent in hospital solid.
God, fair dinkum.
Very lucky to be alive.
Yeah, very much so. Hey, Shawnee, we've got to go because we've got a few things to do. Thanks so much for calling, all right?
Thank you. See ya.
Oh, my big fat sausage fingers aren't working. Hey, David, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, not too bad.
Sorry, but my big fat sausage fingers won't work this morning for some unknown reason. Anyway, I've got to get you to blow in the phone, could you? Just to make sure you're not over. Could you just blow in the phone? Hang on. Oh, you're under. Good work. You, not like Jason from the Central Coast, just dropped the F-bomb. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I don't drink anyway, so it's
good. Well, good. I'm glad you're under. Otherwise, I would have asked you some questions. Now, what do you want to have a chat about, mate? Hey, can I say, how good is that, the news from Thailand, mate, about some of the boys?
Oh, it's wonderful.
That's good.
Absolutely wonderful, yeah.
Yeah,
I was watching it on the news last night, and when I went to bed, they were just starting out, you know, and
yeah,
it's just fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
So good news. Yeah, we caught up with Chris Rees and haven't been able to get back onto him from Channel 7, the 7 News chief reporter, but so good news for your Monday. So we've got 4 out and more on the way, we hope. So fingers crossed, keep our fingers crossed, buddy.
That's it, exactly right.
Now, what you calling about, mate?
Well, I'm having a bit of a spit about the way they're really basically discriminating against smokers.
Right.
They want to ban them from everywhere. Now, I'm up in Brisbane, and I don't like the Lord Mayor up here, but they were talking about the banning them out of the Queen Street Mall, the King George Square.
Right.
Up at the end of the mall there, they wanted to stop people from smoking in there. I mean, do people walk around, these non-smokers walk around with their, holding their breath? In the middle of the city,
yeah.
The cars, the trucks and the buses spewing out all this carbon monoxide, which is just as bad for you.
Yeah.
You know, and they're worried about a few smokers. I mean, look, I don't mind about, you know, the near doors and where people are eating. That's fine. I've got no dramas with that. I never have done that. But stopping people from smoking in the open air is absolutely ridiculous.
Are you a smoker, David?
Yes, I am.
Right. Is this has this been implemented or is it going to be implemented?
Oh no, they wanted to implement it, and the as I said, I don't like this Lord Mayor, but he turned around and said, "No, I don't think that's fair."
Right.
You know, it's about one of the only things I liked him saying, quite frankly. But you know, I was at a shopping centre the other day, and I was about, you had to be at least 4 metres away from a door. Okay,
right.
I was 10 metres away from the front door, of standing on the edge of the road, finishing my cigarette before I went into the shopping centre. And this security guard had to, you know, came up to me and said, "Oh, you can't smoke there." Excuse me?
Yeah, mate.
Why can't I? I said, "Can you, do you know how to measure?" And he says, "What do you mean?" I says, "Have a look. I'm more than bloody 4 metres, excuse the French, more than 4 metres away from the door, aren't I?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, "Take a look at the sign. Go away." I didn't say it exactly like that. But
You said a few other Shannon Knoll words in there.
Yeah, exactly right. Of course you did.
I don't smoke, so it doesn't really worry me. But I could imagine as a smoker, you go, "I want it out in the open." Should you be able to? I'm glad they've banned it for restaurants and all those places, mate.
Yeah. Oh, look, I understand that completely. You know, that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't, as a smoker, I don't like people smoking around me while I'm eating. Mm. Yeah. And I don't do it to them. I never have.
Do you smoke in the house at your joint?
No.
You don't? Okay. Outside?
Outside.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear what other people think. But the law hasn't been implemented at this stage. At this stage, huh?
No, not at this stage. I don't go to the Queen Street Mall, but I'm pretty sure that you're not allowed to smoke in there. I haven't been in there for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure, which I think is still rude, because you're out in the open. Yeah, especially when the wind's blowing, you're not going to get any cigarette, you know, any smoke from cigarettes sucked down your lungs, other than all the other fumes from cars and everything
and
like that as well,
like that.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah, mate, it's a good point you make, Dave. I totally understand. It's like one of my friends, she was going on about, you know, smokers and that. And anyway, you go to her joint and she's throwing all these bloody sticks of timber into the wood burner, and out all this smoke's coming out from the chimney. And you go, hang on, mate. And I don't smoke. And that's what I said to her. I said, hang on, you're having to go out smoking. I said, look at all this stuff coming out of your chimney. And she shut up after that, which was good.
You know, a lot of them, you know, they are absolute hypocrites as far as I'm concerned. They really are hypocrites. They go on about smoking, but yeah, they're driving cars. Yeah. And things like that, and spewing out all this stuff into the atmosphere anyway, you know. Yeah. So, as I said, what's the difference between it?
Actually, speaking of smoking, did you watch the end of the V8s yesterday? Do you watch the V8s?
I don't watch the motorsports. That's the best cure for insomnia I've ever come across in my life.
I was just telling you, Shane Van Gisbergen, anyway, he won yesterday, and he just smoked up the track. Oh, you should have seen that. Jeez, I tell you what.
I wonder how many non-smokers come to there and complain about that, say, oh, we should ban that.
They never do. They may do that. All right, Dave, have a good Monday, champ. Thanks for calling.
No worries. See you later.
There, buddy, you might agree or disagree with David. Paddy Gerard filling in for Luke Boner.